Hey guys, welcome to One Purpose Church.
Yeah, here we believe that we are a group of imperfect people radically committed to loving others and leading them to Jesus.
We are so excited that you decided to join us on the podcast today. Feel free to tune in each week for awesome messages by Pastor Chad. Let's jump right in.
Today, a little bit different. I've entitled the message, What Has God Done? What has God done? Now, when I was growing up, when I heard that words from my mom or dad, if I heard, son, what have you done? It was always a bad thing, wasn't it? Did anybody ever hear that? I know when I grew up, that was a bad thing. Today, what has God done is actually supposed to be in the positive. It's supposed to be a good thing, amen? And so we're going to talk today, and listen, if you're visiting for the first time, today isn't a normal service. I'll just warn you right now, this is totally off, it's totally different than what we're used to. We're 1 week into the new year, amen, it's 2024. So I thought what we would do at the beginning of the year is we'd kind of recap what God has done for us here at One Purpose Church. And I want to set the stage by saying, a lot of us haven't been here for the whole time, and so we have only been in existence for 8 months. That's all we've been a church. We just started this on April 30th of 2023. And so anytime we get the opportunity to celebrate, we're going to celebrate. So I'm figuring, you know what? Let's talk about what God has done with us in One Purpose Church over the last 8 months. And so some of you guys were here at the very beginning and you knew the story, but maybe some of you guys joined in later. I just want to tell you a little bit about the starting of this church, just kind of our roots and our background, if you will. So when my wife and I got the vision that the Lord was telling us that, hey, you're supposed to be a pastor of a church, you know, and we finally got the vision of what we were supposed to be doing, which was starting a new church. We literally went everywhere we could find to try and find a church building to just start having church. And every single place we went, it was a shut door, shut door, shut door. No, sorry, I can't help you. No. Of course, we didn't have any money, so we were looking to rent a place, and we could not find anything. And at one point in time, Brother Sean comes to me, and he was on our leadership team, Sean and Molly, and he says, hey, I got this idea. Why don't we just set up a tent in the middle of a field, and we'll just start having church in that tent? And I'm like, you know what? Every other door has closed. Let's do it. So he said, I think I know somebody who will let us sit the tent on his property. And it was April at that point in time, and it was kind of cold. We can pipe some heat in. That's how this church was going to start. And we were 1 week out from starting this church in a tent in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, we got a phone call, another closed door. The guy said, I'm sorry. I know we said, you know, it was going to work out, but it's not going to work. And I'm just, at this point in time, I'm like, Lord, you want me to start a church. You want us to start a church, but we don't have a building. Dude, we need a building. And I was done. I mean, I had searched everywhere. And I was like, we got nothing, Lord. If you don't want this to happen, tell me. And out of the clear blue, one Saturday night, I'm looking at my wife because she knows this is true. I looked at her and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm heading. Usually she goes with me when we check out new places or whatever. But that night she didn't. I said, I'm heading up to the Gibson Theater. And I said, I'm going to talk to those wonderful folks up there. And I said, I'm just going to ask them. I'm going to pitch the vision and see if they'll let us. And so I, on a whim, one Saturday night, I knew they were having, of course, they have movies in here still. I knew they had their movies going. And here's the thing. When I was heading up here, it was as if God had already prepared the hearts of the people who own this theater before I'd even gotten here. And I said, hey, sir, can I, I knew Mr. Powell a little bit. And I said, hey, Mr. Powell, can I just have a few minutes with you? I really want to ask. And I pitched the vision to him, and it was just like, he just got this funny little smile on his face. He's like, yeah, I think we can work something out. I think this is going to work out. And I'm going to tell you, all I needed to hear was the word yes. And I mean, I was ecstatic. I went back home, and I told my wife, I said, baby, he said yes. And that was the first yes we had. And I don't know, a dozen buildings, maybe more. It was just like, oh, thank God. And it was refreshing because we finally got our yes, right? And we started this thing, and I'm just here to tell you, and today is a little, like I said, it's way different than normal. So if you're visiting, just hang in there with us. But I would not be, this church would not exist if it weren't for my wife. And today I'm going to be doing a little bit of giving credit where credit is due, if you'll allow me to, because we couldn't do this thing without help. And my wife is, she's my best friend. She goes through everything with me. She loves me even when I'm unlovable. Men, do you have a wife that stands by you even when you're unlovable? Please show me. Am I alone? Okay, good. We got a few men who, we sometimes as men can be unlovable, and I know that, and she is awesome. And so we started this thing, right? And we didn't have a praise and worship team. So I went to my kids and I said, hey, we need a praise and worship team. Are you guys interested? You know, I know you got talent. And I'm going to tell you, I knew our kids were talented, but I could not have imagined how good they would be up here week in and week out. And it's just awesome how God lined that up. And it was like the Lord knew at some point in time we were going to start this thing and we needed a praise and worship band, and they were there. And it's just been amazing to watch them grow. I'm excited as today's like a vision casting, if you will. I'm excited to say we're getting ready to add a new person to our praise and worship team. Brother Jason Lips, he doesn't want me to say this at all, and he doesn't even know I'm going to say this, but we just asked him this morning if he'd be willing to join our worship team, and he has accepted that. And of course, Jason has been, he's been running our sound for several months now, and so we're really, really excited about that. But back to our kids, man, you have no idea how many things our kids do. And they're doing all of our sound, they're doing all of our logos, they're doing all of our audio, they're recording the Christmas video you saw last week or the week before. Man, that is all them, and I just thank God for our kids. Of course, I've already said it, Sean and Molly are on the team, and they're just workers, they're busy bees, they are there doing, they get here early every week, they leave late. Joe and Kathy are the same way. Of course, she's the director of our children's ministry, and she just does an amazing job, and Joe and everybody is a part of the process of collecting the finances and counting it, and there is more accountability in the process of counting than you will ever see in another church, I promise you that. And so I just want to throw that out there. And of course, Corey and Manny have been a part of this for a long time too, and they come and help. And so I'm grateful to all those folks, and I just want to say that out loud. But God's been growing us as a church. And you guys that have been here for a long time have seen that. He's growing us spiritually, amen. I've seen with my own eyes how people are growing in this congregation in their walk with the Lord, and you're coming faithful every week, and I've heard stories from many of you who have told me that you're reading the Word of God for yourself for the very first time in your life. Can I tell you what that does to me? That just encourages me to no end, to know that people are getting it, right? And I've seen mothers and fathers change the way that they parent because how God has changed them for the better, amen? And it's just been amazing. And not only are we growing spiritually, and by the way, if you're wondering whether people are giving their lives to the Lord, we're seeing that. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a man raise his hand and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and that's happened numerous times, and I'm walking with this guy hand in hand, and I'm giving him resources, and because it's one thing to say, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, which is unbelievably important. We need to be doing that, but it's another thing to get that and know you're saved, but then those folks need help, and you got to walk alongside them, and you got to point them in the right direction, so we're doing that, and it's just been awesome. And certainly because today's kind of the beginning of the year, we're growing numerically. Amen. We're growing in numbers. Forgive me for that, but man, I'm just parched. From day one, God has blessed this church with an amazing group of believers. And I don't know, the very first week we had service, I think there was something like 70. I'm not a huge numbers guy, so we actually don't count every week as to how many. But every once in a while, somebody will tell me. I think the first week we gathered, there was like 70-something people here. And the lowest number we've ever had in here was something like low 40s, I think. And the highest number we've ever had in the way of attendance was just 2 weeks ago at Christmas. And there was 127 people in this congregation. I'm going to tell you, that might not sound like a lot, but that is awesome. And that is all God. And that's just how amazing of a God we serve. Now, 8 months in, you should not be seeing 127 people in a church. But that's just the goodness of God, right? And he's beginning to fill this place. And here's the thing. You can fill a church if all you want to talk about is fluff and all you want to preach is feel-good sermons. You can fill a church no problem at all. But, and what's that's what the Bible calls that is telling people what their itching ears want to hear. And there's a lot of people who they bounce from church to church to church because they just want a feel-good sermon. Amen? They want someone that's going to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. But if you've gone here for any amount of time at all, you know that's not what we're doing here. We're teaching and preaching the truth of God in the whole truth, no matter what. And before we started this church, I put a video out and I said, look, here's my promise to you folks. If you come, you're going to hear the whole word of God. And that's what we're doing. We're preaching the truth. And here's what I've found too. You folks and a lot of people out there are hungry for the truth. Can I get an amen to that? You are hungry for the truth, and that's a good thing. Amen. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and I'm going to put a tack in there for just a minute, and I'll tell you this. In the last 8 months, I promise you, we have touched on every single hot topic there ever was that ever come from a pulpit, and we haven't held back at all. We just speak the truth in love, and we make sure it's backed up by Scripture. I don't want anything from Chad. Forget what Chad thinks. What does God think? And that's what we're doing. And I don't care if it's abortion. I don't care if it's gender. I don't care if it's identity. Whatever. We're hitting on those, and we're not holding back. So back to the Scripture. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" And the Bible goes on to say, and this is the most important, I guess we don't have that. Okay, Samuel, you're fired. Sorry. This was an important one to have. But it goes on to say, verse 32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free." You will know the truth, and the truth is what's going to set you free. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people who want to know the truth because they want to be set free. Amen. We need to be set free of past sin and guilt and be delivered from that. And when we know the truth, that truth begins to set us free. Amen. And so while we're talking about the topic of being set free, and some of this, there's people in here, and some, I don't know if they are, but we've heard testimonies. And I wish all of you guys could have heard this, because here just many a month ago, we had some folks up here who gave a testimony about the fact that they used to be addicted, and God had delivered them from those addictions, and God had worked in their family, not only set them free from those addictions, but he had restored those broken relationships. That's the God that we serve, amen? We also know that we heard testimony right here on this stage, a husband and wife. They got up here, and the guy was on death's row. Death was knocking, and the doctor said, "Hey, you might not live to see tomorrow." And man, we all got to praying, and we're like, "Hey, God, you know, we need your help." And we got to go to intercessory prayer. We're going to God in prayer on behalf of brother, because he had this extremely aggressive skin disease that was literally just eating his skin off, and he was dying. And we got to praying, and we saw the testimony, and God heard our prayers, and he answered them. And that brother, man, he was healed from that. And not only that, he was given a second chance at life, but his family has been changed forever because of that. And that's just speaks to the goodness of the God we serve. And I could just sit here and tell you story after story in only 8 months of how God has been working in the lives of so many people in this congregation. I started this thing out by saying, what is God doing? What's God done? Well, I'll tell you, God's working in our children's program. I absolutely love the fact that we now have graduated and grown. There's a building right next door. We outgrew that now. We couldn't even fit in that. By the time we get to 15, 16 people in there, and that's kids alone, not including all the adults, we couldn't fit no more. And so we've moved up the road to the annex building there, and God has just began to stretch and mold us in that way. And of course, Kathy Deaton, I can't say enough good about her. She's one of the best, most superb children's ministry leaders in the world. And a lot of you guys are helping in that capacity. And I just want to say thank you guys for all your help when it comes to our kids, because if it weren't for you volunteering, we couldn't offer children's care. And if you've ever had an unruly kid that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, that can't sit still, you praise God for a place like that. Can I get an amen to someone who's got a kid back there? You praise God for a place like that because it gives you room as a mother and a father to say, oh, I can just breathe a little bit. Because Johnny and Susie or whoever aren't pulling at you and running cheddar crackers all over the place and whatever. And if that's your kid and you're in here, I'm one of those guys that I don't care what your kid does. I'm glad your kids are here, amen? And so sometimes there's times where kids are in here and we're just going to roll with it because praise God we got kids. But that program has been awesome. And I'll just tell you, we do know that we can't be in that building forever. I think they're going to actually tear that building down, the annex building, in about 6 months. So that's all we've got that building for. So be in prayer about that. But and I'll just say this also. We've just recently implemented a process to make sure that the parents understand that we're vetting every single teacher that goes back to watch your kids. And now every single person that comes, we make them fill out a background check, because not only do we want to know that they're getting taught the Word of God by people who believe what we believe in Scripture, and they're getting grounded and rooted in that, but we also want to know that and want you to feel safe when you leave those kids out there. And so we're vetting those folks, and we're making sure that we'll never put anybody back there that we don't trust with our own kids, and so we're going to trust them with your kids too. But what's God's doing? God's given us the equipment to record every week, and we're doing videos now, and we're putting those on YouTube and every single platform that's out there. And some of this stuff is boring to you, but this is just housekeeping. It's important. So just so you know, 23 people every week are listening to our podcast. That might not sound like a lot, but I'm going to tell you, in 8 months, that's a good number. And right now, we've got 25 people watching the sermons online every week on YouTube. And so you can certainly tune into that. And we're excited. I think this equipment's been a good investment. I've talked to other pastors who also record their sermons, and some of them have been recording for years and don't have 25 or 50 people listening every week. And so that's going good, right? What's God doing? I'm going to tell you, we've got the most, this is something I don't talk about a lot, but I think I am here in the next couple weeks. We've got some of the most generous tithers and givers on the planet right here. That's you folks, right? And I just want to thank everyone for your generosity, your faithful, and your giving. As you know, we never pass a basket. And I'm not going to say that we're never going to pass one, but for right now, we're going to keep it the exact same way it is. If we get a guest speaker or something, we might take up an offering for somebody like that or something of that nature. But as you know, there's offering boxes in the back, and if somebody wants to put it in there, praise God. God loves a cheerful giver. But if you don't and you can or whatever, that's okay too. We don't care about that. But I want to say this from a leadership perspective, and like I said, this is housekeeping today, but we as a leadership team want you as our congregation to know that it's our goal to be as transparent as humanly possible, meaning there is nothing that we do here as a leadership team, we do here at One Purpose Church that's off limits to you guys to know. Nothing. And that includes every dime that comes through this place, everything that we do. We want transparency. One brother says it in his church, and I'm just copying him, but he says they're a hot church. They're open. Or they're honest, open, and transparent. Well, that's what we want to be with you guys too. And so because of that, we're going to talk a little bit about the finances. Some of you guys are wired that way, and you want to know, and you give every week. Where's that money going, right? Here's kind of a housekeeping. I want everybody to know we have a giving platform now, and that's another thing that God's been doing. There's churches that have been out there for years and don't have a giving platform. Some of us, because we're younger and we're technologically savvy, it's a lot easier just to push. Say, you know, we want to just donate a certain amount every single week, and it comes out automatically, and that's what a lot of the younger folk like. So just so you know, right now in giving, every week on our giving platform, this is electronically, that brings in $481.81 every single week. So that's weekly that's being given, and if that was all we ever collected, for me, 8 months in, that right there would blow my mind. That'd be awesome. But every week, that giving platform, that's how much it collects in. And, of course, the only other way we take up offering is those boxes in the back. And so between the two of those, in the last 8 months, we have received $61,277.34 in offerings. Now, check this out, okay? Now, that is awesome, by the way. That's an amazing number. Right now, in our savings at One Purpose Church, we have $45,000 sitting in that account. Can we get an amen to Jesus on that? And here's the thing, that That is all God, and there is no reason, and I'm not a big numbers guy, and you don't hear me rattle these numbers off very often. I know that. But there is no reason that a brand new church plant like ours should ever have that much money in savings. Here's the thing. We don't have another church underwriting us. We're not a sister church to somebody else, and they're covering the cost, and they're helping us to get started. You know where our help comes from? Our help comes from the Lord, amen? The maker of heaven and earth. That's where that finances comes from, and it's just amazing. And it doesn't hurt that everybody that comes here volunteers, and so we don't have any money going out to teachers or anything like that. And I'll just say this out loud. This is just me as a pastor speaking from my heart. I don't currently take any salary or anything like that. And I'm not telling you that that won't be the case forever, because I'm just going to be real honest with you. My heart's desire would be to be the full-time pastor and to be able to. I'm bivocational right now. Some of you guys may or may not know this, but when we first started the church, I had a full-time bus driver route, and so that's what I did. I drove a bus, and I also worked 5 days a week at the YMCA. So when we started the church, I stepped down from my bus driving route, and I give that up completely because I knew we was going to need some more time. And then I also bumped down from 5 days a week at the YMCA to 4 days a week because I needed more time to put together these messages and things. And I knew the church, and actually, nobody even, this isn't even public knowledge, but I'm hoping to bump myself down to 3 days a week at the YMCA. And my goal would be to continue to bump myself down to where I'm in this position full time. And so I'm just going to let you know where my heart's at. We've got a team of people who make these decisions and help us make these decisions. I don't do everything alone here. I've got as much accountability as anybody when it comes to the finances. I don't make decisions about our finances lightly. I go to our whole team and I say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what we need this finances for. What do you guys think? We make the decision together and we move forward in that. So I would just say it is my desire eventually to be in this position full time. And I think that's important, but that's my heart's desire. So God's blessed our finances. And I'll just say this too. This is me as a pastor talking to you. As we're faithful, I know this without a shadow of a doubt, God will continue to bless our finances. I believe that with all my heart. And we are faithful. Can I tell you, some of you guys might not know this, but we give away as a church. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Do we realize that? And so it would be foolish for us to just take the money and just say, oh, it's all ours. We need it for a building one day. No, we give away 10% of everything that comes in. And so we've given to things like, well, we've put homeless folks in hotels, and we've bought gas for people and tires and folks who have had vehicle problems. We've helped fix those vehicles and shoebox ministries. We've given hundreds, thousands of dollars away. Local summer missionaries that come in here and they help teach our kids, man. We help send them to educate those kids. There's a place called the Potter's House where a good friend of mine is one of the leaders of that. And they take people who are just freshly getting out of jail, and they help give them a place to stay. They help get them a job, and they help get them back on their feet. Can I tell you, even folks who are freshly out of jail need a second chance. Can I get an amen to that? I don't care who you are. That's important to us. We've sent floor arrangements, funeral donations. We've helped people in ministry in Haiti. I mean, the list goes on and on of all the different places that we've given away. And it's our goal, and we'll never not do this. We'll be at least giving 10% of everything that comes in here back into the community, back into loving other people, because you know what? That's what God calls us to do. And I think it's only fitting that on the heels of our finances that we say this out loud. I wish this was one of those days I could say, oh, we've got a building. I don't have that. How long God's going to have us in this building, I don't know. I just do not know. Initially, we thought it'd be 6 months and we'd already have that nether building, and 6 months came and went and we don't have that. And so I have no idea how long we're going to continue to be here, but I know this, we can't stay here forever. So I don't care how comfortable these chairs are to you folks right now, and they are comfortable. These are some of the most comfortable, and I don't care how much you like the smell or don't like the smell of popcorn every time you come into church, we're here for as long as God's got us here. I don't know how long that is, but I know we can't stay here forever, and so I just want you to know that we as a leadership team are in constant prayer And I'm constantly checking leads. I'll just tell you that. People will call me and say, hey, this pole barn came up for sale. This place came up for sale. You need to go check it out. I go check those out. And I see, you know, and I want to, you know, we would love to have a building of our own, but we'll just see where the Lord leads us. We're in constant prayer about that. And this is just me thinking out loud. I'm still believing that God's going to lay it on somebody's heart to bless us with a building for free. We serve a big God, amen? I believe for that. And having said that, I'll also just tell you that myself and the leadership team, we keep our options open as to buying a building if one comes available. Clearly, $45,000 isn't normally in the realm of reality of being able to buy a building. But while we're in the waiting season, can I tell you, we're going to keep saving. That $45,000, I don't believe is going to stay at $45,000. And we're going to keep piling up, and we're going to keep believing that God's going to open a door for us. And so, but I will also say this, that we need your help in this. We know we can't stay here forever. My vision would be way bigger than a building this size. I'll just tell you that right now. We want you to join us in prayer for a building, and I believe that. Listen, I'm never going to be a guy, name it and claim it, prosperity preacher. You know, God wants me to have this stuff, and I'm going to walk around it 1,000 times and just proclaim that this is mine. Now, I'm not trying to put people down, but that's not me. That's not my way. But I do believe that God is a God of details, and God, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so when you're praying, I'll just say this. I'm going to throw this out there. Pray for a building that'll hold at least 200 people or more. I think it would be foolish for us to buy a building that was too small for us from the very beginning. We need something that we can grow into, amen? So pray for that. Pray for at least 2 or 3 rooms where we can have vacation Bible schools and we can accommodate our children's church. And so I'm hoping that you guys will agree with me. And somebody might be saying, hey, listen, you're getting way too ambitious. Let me vision cast for just a minute, okay? If I'm being honest with you and I'm just dreaming, I do look at property. I do. We look at property out there, and I do think about what it would look like if we were to build a church. And somebody might be saying, man, Pastor, you're getting way too ambitious here. Aren't you getting the cart before the horse? And maybe I am. But I think it would be more foolish just to sit back and not cast a vision for the future. Amen? That wouldn't be prudent, if you will. I want you to hear this next verse. Preparing and believing that God is going to continue to grow this congregation is what faith looks like. Let me say that again. Preparing and believing that God is going to grow this congregation is what faith looks like. And so we're going to believe God for the impossible. I believe for impossible things, and I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more. But now, so I'm going to transition here just a little bit. And this was kind of a hard sermon for me because I wanted to give the logistics of where we're at, what God's been doing, what in the world God's done in the last 8 months. And I also want to bring in a little bit of scripture and talk about, you know, just give a message, if you will. So the number one thing that most people I find are asking here at the beginning of 2024 or any year is a lot of people are wanting clarity. Right? And I think clarity and vision go hand in hand. The Bible talks about this. One of the best ways, listen to me, if you're looking for clarity, one of the best ways to get clear vision and clarity is by, number one, prayer. We need to be a people who are praying. God, what do you want? What do you have in store for me for 2024? But I'll just say this, if you want to bump your prayer life up and you want to begin to really hear from God, take it from prayer to fasting. Now that's a word that, man, we don't do very much anymore. That's a word that you maybe you won't hear a whole lot. But I promise you this, your pastor is a guy who fasts. I'm fasting right now, and I don't want any credit for this or anything like that. I just got some things that with the church here and things that I'm really looking for clarity for. And if you want to take it from prayer, then really step that prayer life up, begin to fast. And fasting, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but it's giving up something that's important to you. A lot of times it's food. People will just fast from food completely for a day, 2 days. I know people who've done a week or more, no food at all. Can you imagine going a whole week without food? It's possible. You can do it. You're a lot stronger than you think you are. And I'm telling you, at the end of that fast, God always honors those. Every time I've ever fasted, God has honored that fast, and I love it. So, but let me say this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this, and this is very, very important. Where there is no vision, the people, does it say prosper? The people get healthier? They grow numerically? Where there is no vision, the people, what's it say, folks? They perish. If we don't get a vision for the future of this church and where God's wanting us, not where we want to go, but where God's wanting us to go, then we're going to die. Can I tell you, if you stick a compass on a map and draw a 30-mile radius around this church right here, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of churches who, and this isn't a good thing, and I'm not happy about this, but have lost their vision, and because they have no vision, they're dying. They're literally dying. They have no younger people coming to the church anymore. There are no kids in the church anymore. And statistically speaking, you can look at those numbers and say, you know what? We're going to be dead in 15, 20 years. We can't lose sight of the fact that we've got to have vision or we're gonna die. And so we got to make sure we understand that. Something that's very important to me that you know, this is housekeeping again, from the perspective of this church, is our mission statement and really the foundation of who we are is this. We are imperfect people radically committed to loving others and leading them to Jesus. Say that with me. We are imperfect people radically committed to loving others and leading them to Jesus. I hope that you guys will memorize that because that's who we are. We're always going to be leading people to Jesus. And if we're not doing that, like I've said before, we will shut the doors down of this place. But we've got a vision, right? And I'm going to share a little bit more of your vision at the end here in just a minute. But I think all of us, whether it's in the church or just in your family, could be in your workplace, and I'm looking around, I've got some seniors in here. Carson, are you a senior? I thought so. You're the youngest senior I know, by the way. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, a lot of us are trying to figure out, man, where are we supposed to go to college at? Are we supposed to stay in the job that we're in right now? Are we supposed to quit that thing and go start our own career or start our own business? Are we supposed to? And a lot of us are, we want direction from God as to which way we need to go, right? And I'm praying right now, Lord, give us clarity. Lord, give us a vision for the future because we need vision. And one of the best ways, here we go, we're moving in now. One of the best ways that we can get our bearings, see, we got to get our bearings. We talked several weeks ago about self-reflection, right? One of the ways we get our bearings is we look at ourselves honestly. Last week we talked about this, reflecting. What is it that I'm carrying around? Self-reflection and then asking questions will help us to give us that clarity as the direction that we need to be going. And so I don't want any credit for this. I'm going to give the credit to the right guy here. I was reading an article in preparation for today, and this is where we kind of go into our sermon here, if you will. A professor by the name of Don Whitley, he's from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he put together 10 questions to kind of help people on this brand new year, you know, and to help people get their vision, 10 questions to help you get clarity. And how many of us know when we answer these questions, honestly, it'll help us in our direction. We'll say, okay, well, now that makes more sense. So what I'm going to do is I'm borrowing his 10 questions, and I'm going to present them to you. I'm also going to kind of jump in and interject some of my own thoughts after these questions a little bit, but I'm going to go through these quickly, okay? Because I know this is a long sermon, and I appreciate you guys hanging in. So the first question, I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm going to throw it in there because it's his and he wrote it. It says, what's one thing that you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Now, it's up there, and if you're a note taker, man, I do recommend taking notes and answering these for yourself because I believe, whether it be on your phone or whatever, I believe they can help you with direction in your life this year. I really believe that. What's one thing that you can do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? And can I tell you, when I first read that, I'm a little bit taken off because I'm like, well, enjoyment of God, you know, what's it? Listen, God is a wonderful God. He's a joyous God. And the fact that he extended us grace, he gave us the ability to get saved when we didn't deserve it, ought to bring us joy, amen? focusing on things like that should bring us joy. The fact that we have salvation in him should bring us joy. Second question, like I said, I'm going to go through these quickly. Number two, what's an impossible prayer that you can pray? This one I love. You know a little bit about your pastor here. What's an impossible prayer that you can pray? I've said this before, if your prayers are so small that you can accomplish them without God and Jesus, then your prayers aren't big enough. Maybe you don't understand the God that we serve, because God is a big God. If you'll remember, the Bible is strewn through with miracles that Jesus did. And the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God we serve. And so if years ago he took and spit into some dirt and he made some mud and he wiped it on a guy's hands and he gave the man his sight, that's an impossible thing, and that's the God we serve. The God we serve, he took a man who has been dead 4 days by the name of Lazarus. The Bible said the dude has been dead so long that he was starting to stink in the tomb, and yet Jesus went and he rose that man from the dead. That's the God that we serve. He himself rose from the dead in 3 days. It seems like he's getting better at this raising people from the dead thing. It didn't take him 4 days like it did Lazarus. He came to life in 3 days. See, that's the God we serve. Has anybody seen the movie Alice in Wonderland? Nobody? Okay. Nobody's going to admit it, at least. So in Alice in Wonderland, this is out there, I get it, but Alice says this. She says, "Why, sometimes I've believed in as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." My question to you, and professor's question to you, is when's the last time you've believed God for something that was impossible? Just 2 weeks ago, and I know you believe this story because most of us in here, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen? I stood up here and I read out of Luke where the angel Gabriel went to Mary and he said to Mary, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." She said, "What do you mean? How is this even possible? I'm a virgin. I ain't been with a man." Remember what the angel said in Luke chapter 1, verse 37? The angel said to Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God." Do we believe the word? Nothing is impossible with God, the Bible says. Maybe someone in here this is your year and you're saying, "Man, I want to get out of debt, but it just seems impossible." Can I tell you, nothing is impossible? Maybe someone in here needs a healing, or maybe you know someone who needs a healing. Can I tell you, I believe that because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that nothing is impossible. Maybe someone in here wants their marriage to be better than it is right now. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but maybe there's been struggles. And you say, "Man, I want it to be like it used to be." And can I tell you, nothing is impossible. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Work on yourself. Begin to pray. Fast for your spouse. Right? Maybe someone in here needs a miracle from addiction, or you know somebody who needs to be delivered from addiction. Nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to go on just for time. Number three, what's the most important thing you could do to improve your family life? What's the most important thing you could do to improve your family life? I'm going to interject here and throw a few things in here. Have you guys ever tried reading the Bible together? Man, that's something that'll improve your family life, I promise you. Maybe doing devotions together. And as you grow older, it begins to get a little harder and harder, especially if your kids aren't small anymore and they got jobs and doing all their different things. But man, when those kids are young, man, we need to be doing those kinds of things. Husbands and wives, and we've got a lot of you guys in here. Do you pray together? I'm going to challenge you. Husbands and wives, we need to be praying together. My wife and I, this isn't to brag, but my wife and I pray together as much as we can. We pray before every single meal. We pray most nights. We literally get down on our hands and knees right next to the bed, and I'll grab, you know, my wife's hand, and every night we try. And we don't make it every night, but as much as possible, we grab hands and we pray next to our bed. And that's important. That's one of the things that has improved my family. There's an old saying, the family that prays together, what do they do? Stays together. I think there's something to be said about that. I don't know if I can find that in Scripture per se, but I'm telling you, the principle's there, and God honors that. We begin to pray together. Number four, in which spiritual discipline do you most want to progress this year? You couldn't say it. In which spiritual discipline do you most want to progress this year? I was going to do it this week. I promise you, or at least I'm going to try my darndest. I believe in praying, or I believe in reading the Bible. We need to be reading that Bible. And there are apps out there who help you to read your Bible. Every day, I'm in a season right now where I'm trying to read through the Old Testament. And I'm behind schedule. I'll be honest with you. I try and read the Bible every day, but there are days that I've missed. Not a lot, but there are a few days that I miss. But that's one of those things. Get you an app. Get plugged in. Read the Old Testament in a year. Read the New Testament in a year. Maybe you read the whole Bible in a year. Maybe you're good at that. What do we need to get better at? Joining a small group. This is something I'm telling you, it's in our future here at One Purpose Church. Now, we don't have a great place to meet, to do Bible studies in small groups, but we will. Just hang in there. We're 8 months in. God's going to supply this. We've got to do it in somebody's house, so be it. I don't care. But we're going to start small groups. My wife and I have been talking about this. Maybe you pray more, whatever it is. Number five, let's keep going. Everyone needs to hear this. What is the single biggest time waster in your life, and how can you redeem that time? I'm going to step on some toes here because God has stepped on my toes. I'm with Brother Sean. Sometimes the Lord speaks to me. And the other day, I was sitting here actually putting together this sermon, and all of a sudden, I grabbed my phone, and I started flipping through these stupid videos. And I am watching video. Next thing I know, I'm an hour or two into wasting my life away by watching stupid, funny, idiotic videos that have nothing to do with production in my life. It could be social media for you. It could be television. I'm looking at my younger people, but it's adults too. Video games. It could be sporting events. Whatever it is. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and the pastor who put these sermons together, he asked this, and I'll agree with him, is repentance required? There are some times where we need to just go to God and say, God, I am so sorry. I don't read your word, but I'll sit on my phone. My phone reminds me of how much of a failure every once in a while I am, because every week it tells me like bloop, and it tells me I've been on the phone, my screen time is something like 4 hours and 30 minutes a day. And I'm like, there's no way that's right. How is that possible? But it is. I'm like, what a waste, right? And sometimes we got to go to God and say, God, I am so sorry. And then I'm convicted. Listen, when I preach to you, a lot of times, this is God convicting me too. I am in the same category as I am preaching to you. I waste too much time on my stupid phone in front of social media. And Lord, I am sorry about that. But the Bible says the days are evil. And anything Satan can do to rob up our time, Ephesians 5:16, he'll do. And so we got to be careful to really make sure we watch. We're not wasting our time. Number six, I'm going to keep going quickly. What's the most helpful new way that you can strengthen your church right here, the One Purpose Church? What's one of the most helpful ways that you can get plugged in and join the mission that we've got here? And I get it. Not everybody is able to get up here and tickle these keys. I get it. I don't expect you to do something that you're not called to do, but I know this. Every one of us has got a calling, and we've all got a gifting. Every one of us. I believe that. Some of you guys, maybe you're not gonna play in this, but maybe you can help out in our children's church. And if you think, you know what, I can afford one day a month to go back there and help watch these kids, then come see us. And we'll try and plug you guys in. Maybe you do have the ability to be able to sing or to play, and we don't know about it. I'm just going to tell you, like I said, we're already beginning to grow our praise and worship team, but I don't know what your gifts are. And so if you've got a gift and you say, man, it could be as simple as coming in here and being a door greeter. And there's nothing wrong. That's not to put that position down. That's important. When somebody walks into this church, they want to see a smiling face. And this morning, I don't believe we even had a door greeter, so forgive me for that. That's on my shoulders. But if you think, you know what, I can be a door. I can shake people's hands and tell them, welcome to One Purpose Church. We're glad you're here. If that's you, man, come and see us. What's one of the ways that you can strengthen this church? And I'm trying to think of some other ways. Maybe you're gifted in the way of Bible study. And you're thinking, you know what? I can lead a small groups. Come see us. We'll value your gifts, and we'll figure out if there's a way we can plug you in. We want to. Let's keep going. And well, real quick, I've got in my notes here. And some of us, you might be saying, you know what, I can't do all of that, but man, I'm a giver, and that's a wonderful thing too. Maybe you come up to me and say, Pastor, I can't do any of that stuff you said, but I know this, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for your daughter who's sick at home. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for a new building. That right there, if you told me that, would do me just as good as somebody who's the most spectacular singer up here praising and worshiping God. Just to know that you're praying for me and for this church, man, that does my heart good. Let's move on. Number seven, For whose salvation will you pray most fervently for this year? Whose salvation will you pray every day? Every day. Don't get yourself so caught up in I'm praying for this and that and that and that and that. Before you know it, you forget who you're praying for. Pick one person this year and commit to pray for them every day that they get saved. Every day. Could be your dad, could be your mom, could be a family member, could be a coworker. I don't care. Once a day, Lord, man, I'd love to see them give their life to the Lord. They need you, Jesus. Just every day, pray for that. Who is that person? If you had somebody pop in your head, start that thing. It's easy. It's easy. Just begin to pray for them once a day. Reach out to them. Love on them. Invite them to church, whatever. Number eight, what's the most important way by God's grace that you can try to make this year different from last? Excuse me. Here's the thing, and you've all heard it. We can't keep doing the same things every year and expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity, and it's just foolish. What are you going to do differently in 2024 than you did in 2023? And you got to actually do something. You got to make a difference. Amen. And we talked about not carrying the baggage around. Maybe that's where you start at, right? What are you willing to do differently in this year? Number nine, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? We're almost done. Hang in there. I know this is long. What one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? It may be as simple as designating time exclusively to prayer. Maybe you get up 5 or 10 minutes early for work, and you just say, you know, just take time to pray. Maybe you take some extra time before bed. Now, I will say the bed thing's a little harder because you'll fall asleep because you're tired already. Amen. So my recommendation is in the beginning of you know, as soon as you get out of bed, before you even get out of bed, begin to pray. Hop down on your knees. I try and do that every day too, and just hop down and say a prayer beside the bed, and usually I'll even sing to God just a little bit, just one of my favorite songs and verses, and just helps get my Holy Spirit juices flowing, right? But we need to improve our prayer life. And number 10, last thing, and this is big picture thinking. This is forward thinking. What single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years? Think big picture, not only 10 years, in eternity. What's something that we can do this year that we can put on paper and pen, whatever, that's going to make a difference 10 years down the road, or 20, or 50, or in eternity? Winning souls for Christ is one of those things, right? Think big picture, think long term here. Now, we're going to ask praise and worship team to come up, and I think I can get Samuel to come up here, but we're getting ready to close here. And like I said, today, man, if you're visiting, I hope you'll come back because it was way different than normal. But I think it was important. And I want to say this too as we're getting ready to close here. We started this thing out by saying, what has God done? God's done a whole lot. As we've just seen, and I haven't stopped talking for the last 35 plus minutes about just the goodness of God. And not only in this church, but if you think in your head, what's God done for me? Man, it's probably off the charts of the things that God has done for you. And you maybe don't even realize it. God is an amazing God, and He loves you, and He's got plans for you, a hope and a future to give you. He just wants to bless you. That's the God that we serve. And so I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes, and if we can bring the lights down, that's fine. If not, that's fine too, but we're going to go to the Lord in just a time of prayer. What's God doing in your life? Think about it. What has God done in your life? Do you have your health? And count your blessings. Do you have children? Do you have a roof over your head? If you're here, I know you have clothes on your back. Those are just staples. And God is such a good God, and He wants to continue to bless and move, and He's doing an amazing thing, not only in this church, but I know He's doing amazing things in your life. Maybe you've got a testimony, and you say, you know what, I think I want to share that with the church, with just something that God's done through you, for your family, for a loved one. Maybe you want to come up here and we talk just a little bit. Come see me with that. Share with me the goodness of God. I love hearing those stories. I love hearing those stories. Two things that I want you to know as a church. One of our goals, one of our two goals here is we're going to have the best children's and youth programs possible. And it's not about the programs, it's about building a foundation in our children and in our youth, starting with Genesis. It's about seeking God and plugging these kids into Jesus. And one of our other big visions for this church is this. We want to seek to build the strongest marriages possible. Those two are it right now. That's our laser focus, our children and our marriages. Literally, my goal would be to build divorce-proof marriages in the folks in this church right here. We're going to build up traditional marriages by strengthening those marriages and strengthening mothers. And we're going to build into the fathers. And we're going to demonstrate what it looks like to be the head of the household, men. And demonstrate what it means to be a lovely woman of God for your children and for your husband and for your wife. Those are our two goals, children's and strong marriages. And I want everybody to hear that. Because I know there's a lot of people hurting. I know there's a lot of brokenness out there. Somebody in here, I'm sure, listening, maybe online, who you've already maybe thrown in the towel on your marriage. Can I tell you, don't do it. Pick that towel back up. Hang in there. I promise you it's worth it. God can redeem this thing. God can restore this thing. God's going to do some amazing things in 2024 in the lives of every single one that's listening right here. I believe that with all my heart. But you got to put forth effort. You got to try. Maybe take those 10 questions and maybe go back if you missed some and you want to answer those. And I promise you the Lord's going to give you clarity. Maybe bump up your prayer life. Maybe you take it to the point where you're actually fasting. Man, I advise it. God honors that.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to follow along with us on this journey and hear the weekly messages from each Sunday, the best way to do that would be to just hit that subscribe button and you'll get that notification each week. So we're looking forward to having you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.